Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and good evening, everyone. Sorry there, we just had a little technical difficulty. We've got it all straightened out now. We want to welcome you back once again to Girls Let's Talk, Healing Your Aloneness and Becoming All One. Now, what is that beginning to mean for you? Healing your aloneness and becoming all one. When we started this program a few months ago, I know we wanted to talk about all of the different concerns that women have been going through and suffering with, such as pain, such as fear, such as anger, such as grief, and doubt about being the best that they can be and their self-esteem issues. Why do we go through this? It's because we have not found a way to connect to our inner child. Or if we're connected to our inner child, we are connected to a wounded inner child. So now what we are going to do is move into finding ways of connection, connection to our inner child and healing that inner child. And that's what we've been doing for the last couple of sessions. And we will continue that this week with Chapter 6 titled The Results of Connection. So I hope that you've been using our book, which is Healing Your Aloneness, Finding Love and Wholeness Through Your Inner Child, and also using our workbook on healing your aloneness. And if you don't have those books, that's okay, because we like to give you an opportunity to be with us and join us in talking, having conversation about what's going on in your life. And sometimes, just sometimes, you will be open to sharing, opening up your mic and reading with us as we do this book study. But if you are the type that wants to just be silent and quiet and just listen, and that's okay too. As you join us on the Blog Talk Radio program and on Zoom this evening, we want to thank you. It may be morning when you listen to this, whatever time of the day it is, we thank you for joining us. We thank you for being with my co-hosts, Rhonda Doyle Turnbull and Karen Walker. And Karen's not with us this evening, but Rhonda's here. And we're grateful to see you, Rhonda. Thank you for being here. And as you know, we like to have a lot of fun. We like to be engaged with revealing some things that might seem a little embarrassing. But if I can talk about my stuff, maybe and hopefully it makes it a little easier for you to identify with your stuff, even if you don't want to talk about it, but it gives you an opportunity to feel okay in yourself because you're not alone. We're all various emotions right now. There are people that are grieving. There are people that are sad. There are women that are angry. There are women that feel alone and abandoned. And all of those feelings are feelings that we have because we have not recognized what we need to do to be comforted and be at one, our adult self, with our inner little girl. And when that little inner girl can heal from all of the wounds that she's had, feelings of abandonment, feelings of neglect, feelings of not being good enough, feelings of being unappreciated, whatever those feelings may have been as we were growing up as little girls, believe it or not, we begin to act and react in our lives as adults from those scars, from those marks, from those impressions, from those memories. So it is our job to bring it to your attention so that you can then take the choice, make the choice to do some healing. And so tonight we're going to do something a little different than just doing our book reading. We're going to do some healing work. And, excuse me, again, you don't have to say anything, but we are going to offer you an opportunity to be reflective, to write down some of your thoughts, excuse me, and at the same time, we're going to put ourselves in a meditative position and a meditative posture and go within our hearts and allow that inner girl, that little girl, that inner child to talk to us this evening. If you are interested in having her talk to you, I'm sure she'll have something to say. So excuse me, I'm going to drink a little water, but in the meantime, as I always do, I invite you to get your pens and your paper ready, get your books. If you don't have your books with you, grab your books, grab your paper, grab your pens, and let's get ourselves ready to get started this evening. So with that, I'd like to invite everyone, if you've gotten your pencils, your paper, your pens, your water, your tea, your coffee, whatever beverage that you're going to have that's going to help support you in being able to be in that space. I want you to be in that comfort space right now. I want you to be able to take the time to be reflective. And so in order to do that, I want you to stop thinking about the things that happened earlier today, things that may have happened yesterday, things that may happen tomorrow. I want you to be right here in this moment in time. I want you, if you're sitting in a chair, to sit with your back straight and your feet flat on the floor. I want you to place your hand up on your lap, palms up. And if it's more comfortable for you to lie down, please lie down on your back with your hands at your sides, with your palms up. And as you continue to get focused and grounded, I invite you to scan your body to see if there's any tightness, any areas that calling your attention, to focus your attention there. So begin to scan from the top of your head all the way down to the bottom of your feet. And as you continue to breathe in deeply through your nose, and out through your mouth, I invite you to breathe into those areas where you feel the tightness or tension in your body, keeping your focus on your breath. That's breathing in through your nose and gently out through your mouth. And as you exhale, let go of all of the thoughts, the tightness, the reflections of the day, thoughts of tomorrow. And as you inhale, inhale the light that never fails. Breathing in comfortably as possible, expanding your lower belly. Near your belly button, focus your attention for a moment. Feel your stomach expand out like a balloon as you inhale. And as you exhale, push your belly button all the way back as far as you can to your spine so that you can let out all of the excess air out of your lungs. Inhale, expanding your stomach. You may even want to place your hands there. That's a comfortable place for your hands. And you can feel the expansion under your hands as you inhale and as you exhale. You can feel your hands collapsing as your stomach collapses. Inhale. Expand. And exhale. And as you inhale in through your nose, I want you to say the words, I am light. And as you exhale, I release darkness. Inhale, I am light. I release pain. As you exhale, as you inhale, I am light. As you exhale, I release grief. As you inhale, I am light. As you exhale, I release fear and doubt. As you inhale, I am light. As you exhale, I release anger and anxiety. I am light as you inhale. And as you exhale, I release unworthiness. As you inhale, I am light. As you exhale, I release everything that is not for my highest good. Rhonda, would you please now do the opening prayer?
Heavenly Father, Mother God, we call for your light, your divine presence placed over every woman, every child that is in need of healing that inner child. We ask that you please open our minds and our hearts. Receive the message, the information that we are to receive today so that we may love more and be loved more. We thank you for this opportunity. Join on this call with other women of love and light as we all expand in our hearts and in our minds and receive as well as give and share our light, our wisdom, and our divine understanding. We are grateful and we ask that you please again bless every woman that is in need of heal. We ask that we thank you for the victory that we will have this day and always. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. Continue breathing in through your nose, through your mouth. And this time, I want you to focus your attention on your heart. You can even place your hand over your heart. And as you inhale, I receive love. And as you exhale, I shall give love. I receive love. As you inhale, as you exhale, I shall give love. And when you're ready, you may slowly open your eyes. All right. For those of you that would like to open your video feed at this time, you can, so we can see you and welcome you. And those of you that are on the Blog Talk Radio program and listening now or listening in the future, we welcome you again and thank you for being with us this evening. And I'd like to start with going into healing your aloneness, finding love and wholeness through your inner child. And that's because this is a book study, we do want to look at a couple of passages from the book as we go into our healing work this evening. And I'd like to ask if there's anyone that had any aha moments in the last couple of weeks that they'd like to share with us. We always like to hear those stories. Maybe you did something, or maybe you had some experience from something that we shared or talked about, and or you've read in the book and you want to share it with us. This is the time. Even if you don't want to open your video feed, you are welcome to open your mic, and I will acknowledge you when you open your mic. Is there anyone that would like to share?
Indra, I would like to share.
Go ahead, Rhonda.
I am more in tune with my inner child than I have been in the past.
How so?
I recognize that when I'm feeling a certain way, I've had various emotions going on this week. But as I was in that emotion, I started reflecting. What happened, you know, what could have possibly happened to me as a child? Did I choose this way to react? But why would this thing or person even rile me up or get any kind of reaction out of me? What is it that my inner child is wanting me to know? And so I really find it wonderful knowing that I can continue to do that and help resolve some of the issues that I do have as an adult.
Okay, was there anything that stuck out in your mind that was an example that you can share? You don't have to. If there's nothing in, specifically you want to share, that's fine too. But that's very important because what you just said is so key to all of our healing. It's we got to begin to connect the dots, lady, to, you know, what took place in our lives in this lifetime, and those of you that believe that this is not our first go-round in the schoolroom of life, and that you've come back again, and that you've come back to fulfill something great, something grand that you had agreed to do, and yet we get stuck in these ruts because we forget our greatness, our grandness. And we forget our greatness and grandness because of all of these emotional things, all of this other stuff that has happened either in this lifetime or a previous lifetime that is holding us back. So if you'd like to say anything else, Rhonda, go ahead.
Here, I find myself, I'm not feeling well. I'm a health person, good health, but I find myself not feeling so well. And I brushed it off, taking herbs, taking a lot of herbs. But I knew that whatever was going on with me was really not being fully healed through the herbs. And then I found myself all of a sudden needing to go to the hospital because my head hurt so bad. I don't get headache. I don't have those kind of but it became alarming to me because it had happened and it was like 12 o'clock midnight. And I needed to go to the hospital. And I actually went out to try to drive myself to the emergency room. And I realized that's not a wise thing to do because, even though I might have felt like I could drive there, I may have gotten some medication that would impair my driving. And that made me feel sad that I even was thinking about driving myself. So I'm here with, I have someone willing to take one of my daughters, willing to take, and she worked all the time. And I didn't want to disturb her. And she heard me, and she said, I'll take her to the hospital. And then we need to come back, give me a call, and I'll come to school. And she got me on the spot. But I was sitting in the emergency room by myself. That was what initially came up. Here I am in an emergency room, 1, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, alone, with a headache, an issue with my teeth, my gums. And what does this represent about? And I realized I wasn't alone. My daughter drove me there. She was going to pick me up. I mean, I could have called. She was not that far from me. And she knew that she would. That part of me of being alone. Me by myself. I mean, the emergency. And that's it. I had to talk myself. I can handle this. I'm not dying. And I'm going to do this. And so that shifted the energy. That shifted my thoughts. And I just relaxed. I had a book or something I was reading, just glancing at it, just to keep my mind. I started talking to them. There weren't many people in there, but I started talking to other people. And I realized, there it is. I didn't feel it. Well, some people sort of dropped them off, too. And I was waited on very quickly. They were very kind to me. They helped relieve the headache that I had. And I was able to, I didn't even call my daughter to pick me up. I just called her and worked. And the nicest person picked me up, nicest man picked me up and brought me back. And I realized that all of the fear that I had about the whole situation threw me in my head. Because it was not come to show up that way. It was very beautiful.
Well, that's what, excuse me, that's what I was going to ask you. What was the emotion? And you mentioned it, fear. So that was fear. So have you, now, come on. I'm going to put you on the spot for a moment because you're a former police officer, and fear was something that was, you went through all kinds of psychological testing and all kinds of psychological workshops and weeks of training to get over and out of fear.
Exactly. I thought of all the things that I have seen, all the times I've been the one of police taking people to the hospital constantly, getting calls and getting people needing help and I take them to the hospital. And I realized that I'm not always fearful. I'm not fearful. But at that moment, it just came upon me. That I felt alone.
So what I'm getting is that there's a record, meaning some impression that has now become so embedded in your subconscious from being alone as a child, either in this life or another, being alone or being abandoned is a record. And having to deal with being okay. See, we're going to talk a little bit later about being soft, the difference between softness and weakness and softness and power. And I also equate being vulnerable for women. You know, if we put ourselves in the position of being vulnerable, then we may think of ourselves as being weak because in this world, we may have experienced or know others that have experienced when you show vulnerability, you can be taken advantage of. You can be manipulated. You can be controlled. And so as women in this society today, growing up and becoming career women and doing the things that we've done, we've probably put on shells. When I say shells, meaning like layers and layers of hardness to hide our vulnerability. Because I think as a woman, naturally, that is part of our nature, is to be vulnerable, is to be able to be penetrated, is to be able to receive. That's what the yin is. That's what a woman is. She is supposed to be penetrated. She is supposed to be received. She is supposed to take all of that in so that she can give. But because, again, in this society, being vulnerable means you're weak or you're not good enough, or I see that you are someone that I can control, so I'm going to control you because you're in this vulnerable place. So we have this hardness of heart, which we're going to talk about later on. We're going to do a heart meditation so that we can open up our heart, because I think that is so important. Anybody else want to chime in here? Any comments on what we just talked about?
Well, this is Vicki. Excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
Hi. Sorry, I'm late. We had our power was out, so couldn't get on.
It's okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes. You're here now.
So what I was, not exactly a similar situation, but it relates to sort of the same issue in a sense, is, you know, I was having some criticism this week, and I just can't hardly stand this. I feel so bad. I'm so anxious. And I was reading, so I don't remember the source. It was something from the Ascended Masters. But that when we have this kind of a anxiety, sort of overwhelming, sometimes a little bit depression feeling over a situation, many of these, or some of this might be a record, you might say, in our unconscious, subconscious minds, even superconscious mind, but that from abuse when we were younger in different ways. I mean, very serious things, but sexual abuse, but just abuse, maybe being beat and giving heavy duty spankings or that kind of thing, or just being not being cared for correctly. So what I was doing was making calls into the course of vital flames for the dissolving of those issues, the cause, effect, record, and memory, because it's sometimes hard to identify why we're having what kind of feelings we're having in various situations. Right? And it did help.
Yes. Thank you very much, Vicki. We will possibly share a little bit about that eraser, the energy we call the violet flame that can help to erase and replace, transmute some of these emotions that we've been feeling and experiencing. It's a tool that you can embrace if you like, and it's one that, you know, it's available. It can be put on the shelf. But as we shared last time, just saying I am a being of violet fire, I'm the purity God desires, you know, my inner child is a being of violet fire. My inner child is the purity God desires. The word purity, you know, that the purity in itself, when you think about that, that it means wholeness in my mind. It means clear and free of anything that would taint it, would cause it not to be able to be in its most pristine, effective state of being. And that's what we want our inner child to be, pure, in that most pristine state of being, because that's the only way our inner child can connect with our higher self, as we're talking about in the book. And she mentions it again in this chapter, the connection between your inner child or the soul and your higher self cannot happen as long as there are impediments such as the experiences that we've had that keep us from feeling we're okay to be alone, we're okay to be powerful, we're okay to be vulnerable, we're okay to be strong, we're okay to have relationships, we're okay to make money, We're okay to be a mother. We're okay to, you know, to be a wife. We're okay to be whatever it is that's part of our divine plan, part of the gifts that we have been given, and the gifts that we have accumulated in our being, that we can use these talents and gifts and blessings that are ours to share with others. We can't do it because we don't feel worthy. And she mentions in the book, as long as that self-esteem problem is there, then we're not going to have that God victory, that success that we want to have. So let me go into the book for those of you that have your book for a moment. If you don't, that's okay. I'm going to read, and I don't know if anyone else has their book. I know sometimes Porcelain has her book, but we're going to be using the book this time, Healing Your Aloneness, Finding Love and Wholeness Through Your Inner Child, on Chapter 6, which is on page 53. I just want to read a little bit of this so that you can understand where I'm coming from right now. She says, when we choose to live in a connected way with our inner child, transforming the ego into the higher self, life becomes a wonderful experience. That was the first sentence. If we don't do anything but meditate on that for the rest of the week, then I think that, you know, we get there. We're in a good place. He said, when we choose a choice, when we choose to live, so it's not, so that means we can't let somebody else choose for us. We can't let somebody else dictate for us. We can't let someone else manipulate us out of this, because we're learning that that's part of our power. We've given over to somebody else, right? So we got to make a choice to take our power back. We got to make a choice to be powerful ourselves and to be strong. So when we choose to live in a connected way with our inner child, transforming the ego into the higher self. Okay, the ego tells us, well, we can't do certain things. Believe it or not, you know, you can have a strong ego that's very negative, just as much as you can have a strong ego that's very eccentric out there. So when you have a wounded child, usually the ego is very negative. Life becomes a wonderful experience. We feel peaceful, centered, and physically healthy. Rhonda just talked about those three things. With a sense of wholeness within and a sense of compassion and oneness with all living beings. We feel joyful, even when we are sad. As Richard, one of our clients, said, and I quote, the pain I feel when I'm disconnected is awful, but when I connect with my inner child, even feeling his pain feels good. End of quote. Goes on to say, self-esteem. The more deeply we learn to love our inner child, the more we experience high self-esteem. That's another powerful sentence that we can meditate on. Let me say it again. The more deeply we learn to love our inner child, the more we experience high self-esteem. How many of us, since we started, are really trying to have that one-on-one relationship with your inner child? Are you asking your inner child before you eat something, inner child, you know, is this good for me? You know, why do I want this cake? You know? Why do I want this piece of candy or this ice cream? Is this pacifying some need for love that I'm not getting from you and you're not getting from me? And so we sabotage ourselves and you know, I don't want to look at myself in the mirror because I've put on a couple of pounds because I'm satisfying that need for love in another way. Just a thought. I don't know if anybody else is doing that but me, but anyway, just a thought, I said.
Join the club.
So she says, self-esteem simply means feeling lovable, adequate, and worthwhile. Wow. He's sweet, lovable. Fear self-esteem simply means feeling lovable. Adequate. Just adequate. I mean, sometimes we don't even feel like we're adequate. We just feel like, oh, my God, you know, the sky is falling kind of thing. You know, I'm not even adequate to go out here to go to work today, but I'm going to go and hopefully nobody sees me kind of thing. And worthwhile. While our ego tells us that self-esteem comes from others' approval. Others got to approve it. You know, it's our rating on the job. Did we get a raise when we thought we should have gotten a raise? Or did we get that promotion when we wanted that promotion? Somebody else got my promotion. Well, was it really your promotion? Maybe God got something better for you, but you're not there yet. So God can't give it to you because you don't even think you're worthy of having it. But you're going to covet somebody else's promotion. Okay, I'm not talking to anybody on this call, right? Nobody understands that at all. Okay, where am I? He says, while our egos tell us that self-esteem comes from others' approval, the truth is that self-esteem comes from inner approval from what the inner adult thinks about the inner child and how the adult treats the child. When others give us approval, we may feel good for the moment, but the good feeling soon goes away, and we need more approval to feel good again, which is what makes it an addiction. We need more and more of it to feel good. Good feelings from the ego are always short-lived. But when the inner adult loves the inner child, healthy inner adult, that's what we're trying to work on, a healthy inner adult loves the healthy inner child over a period of time, the child comes to know that it is lovable and worthwhile. This knowledge is not momentary, but deep and permanent. Can you imagine that? Just giving our inner child just a little bit of attention, we can make some changes. Because that inner child is like yearning, is just like waiting, it is like just holding with bated breath for us to focus our attention on it and just say, everything is okay. You're okay. We're okay. And we can do some things so that we can feel good again and not wallow in our own self-pity. So,
Deirdre?
Yes.
That was what it just made me think. That was what I had to do as I'm sitting waiting in the emergency room. Calm myself and actually talk to my inner child and to assure myself, we're doing fine. We can do this. This is no problem, you know. What are you worried about? You've done this before. You've helped others do it before. It's going to be okay. And that did. That was very comforting.
Vicki, is your hand up? You're muted, Vicki. You're muted.
I thought I was muted. Sorry.
That's okay.
If you can, could you possibly give some examples of knowing that you are confident and you are loving yourself, and what would happen when that happens, when you are confident of who you are and you don't let determine what kind of person you are, so to speak?
Okay. That's a very good question. Because I'm going to read this to you before I answer it. She says, a connected person does not seek a relationship in order to get something, but rather to give love to others as they've given love to themselves. Love thy neighbor as thyself means that you must love yourself, and then you can love others as you love yourself. If you love being with others, but you don't love being with yourself, it means that you value others more than you value yourself, and that you want to be with them to get something from them rather than to give something to them. you are being needy and addicted when this is the case. When you spend enough time learning with your inner child, you will eventually see and know who you are to such an extent that you love being with yourself. This is high self-esteem, being with yourself. There was a period of time in my life, I spent 7 years in basically solitude. I came out to treat patients or to do workshops or to do seminars or something to that nature. And some of you, even on this call, was part of those retreats and workshops and things that we had. And I felt very, very confident in myself in those 7 years. And then I got in a relationship. Lord help. It seemed like within a matter of months, all of that work that I had done on building a relationship, building that oneness, that connection between my higher self, and I didn't know it at the time. You know, my inner child was being encouraged and that my inner child was feeling good, you know. And so I thought, okay, well, when I had the relationship, you know, now I've arrived. But over a period of time, and this is another book that I'm going to mention, The Nibble Theory. I can't even remember the author's name. It's a very small book, and I just recently read it. But anyway, this Nibble Theory book, it talks about how people say things that, you know, that are very demeaning to you. And it's like taking a nibble out of you, like you were a circle or a cookie. Can you just imagine over a period of time, you know, you got a boss that never gives you a compliment but can always find fault in what you've done wrong, but never can say what you've done right, nibble, taking a piece out of you. Or you got a boyfriend that says, you know, you look okay in those jeans, but you'd look even better if you lost 5 pounds, nibble, you know, or... I wish you would do a girlfriend or somebody else you might know. Girl, you need to do something to your hair. Nibble. You know, all of these things are nibbles at us, and we're not aware of it. We talked the last time about being signified on. You know, for African Americans, we understand that word signified, but it means people are taking advantage of criticizing you in a ha-ha-ha joking kind of way, but still in all, it penetrates and it affects the inner child. It impedes that inner child from feeling good and confident about itself. And then as the adult, you don't feel good and confident about yourself. So I thought I was healed because, you know, I did so good 7 years by myself. But then here I am having this relationship, and now I'm being nibbled until I got to be crumb. And so, but it was all for my highest good, because in the process, I learned how to forgive. I learned how to forgive myself. I learned how to forgive others. I learned how to recognize that there was something in my life that I did not. There was a line that had to be drawn, and thus far and no further, I was not going to accept anything less than. And we all have to get there. We all have to get to that particular point. I'm accepting nothing less than the best. And even though, you know, you may have the car, the money, the looks, the this, the that, and the other, but if it's not helping my inner child, it's not helping my soul, it's not helping me to grow and be where I need to be, then thus far and no further. We can part as friends, but I will not allow myself to be taken advantage of like this anymore. And it took a long time to get there, and it took a long time to heal, and I'm still healing because, again, you know, we get tests. Other people, they may not be part of a relationship, but they could be a boss, or they could be your siblings, or it could be your own children will do something that will rattle you a little bit just to see if you're going to fall back into that particular place of feeling ashamed of who you are and not recognizing your greatness, your grandness. So I hope that was helpful, Vicki. What I said. You're welcome. So at the bottom of page 54, for those that are following along in the book, I just wanted to read this, going back to what I had mentioned earlier. Personal power and softness. She goes on to say, softness is energy of warmth, tenderness, love, and power that emanate from people when they are in their higher selves. Wow. Let me say that again. Softness is the energy of warmth, tenderness, love, the last one was, and power. So to be soft doesn't mean you're not powerful. That emanates from people when they are in their higher selves. At this moment, they know and love themselves. Do not shame or violate themselves and others. Do not seek approval nor fear disapproval. Are not self-conscious and do not take personally others' criticism, anger, and rejection. You can still be very powerful and still put yourself in a very vulnerable position of receiving criticism and someone else's anger and someone else's rejection and not take it personally when you are healthy, when your inner child is healthy, when you are connected, and when you are in alignment with your higher self, your higher purpose. And you know you're on point. You know you're on purpose. And nobody's going to take you or sway you or move you from that place. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
I do. Well, I know what you're talking about. When I want to ask you if you think after some, say a workshop or doing something with somebody and you send in an email, did I do okay? How did I do? Or something like that. And wanting to get feedback, that's not negative, is it?
No. If there's a difference, see, that's a good question. And I had to ask myself that on different occasions. Why am I asking this person? Do I really need, is there a need in me to hear a compliment? Is there really a need in me to hear someone say that I did a good job? And if I do, is it because I don't feel like I did a good job? Am I doubting myself? Am I questioning myself? Very good.
I've been doing it just to see if I need to improve and take it.
So, but there's a difference. And there's a difference when you do it and you know you're doing it for the point of self-reflection so that you can improve. But there's a vibration. It is subtle. Even with that, it can still be very subtle. There's a need to hear it. There's a need for someone else to say, atta girl, you did good. But when you can get to a point where you know within yourself, and not ego, but from your Christ self, that you've done the best that you could do with all that you could do about what you knew to do about that situation, that circumstance, or that project, or whatever it may have been, and you turned it over to your higher self to say, higher self, I'm turning it over to you now. I've done the work. I've prepared myself. I've done all that I can do to be ready. And once I've done that, then it's up to you now to take it from here. And when we can do that, then we're on track. Then we know that things are moving as they should be moving, and we're progressing as we need to progress because we feel that connection, that partnership with our Holy Christ self. We feel that partnership with God. We feel that partnership with our inner child and our inner adult, if that makes any sense to you.
Thank you, yes.
Yeah, I'd like to share about that. When we truly are in alignment, and okay with ourselves, it will show up. 3 days after I was in the emergency room, you know, I'm out and I'm feeling better, and I needed to go to the bank, take care of some business. And I'm in a good mood. I'm feeling, like I said, I'm feeling much better. I walk in the bank, and no one was there to take my name because I needed one to talk to a banker. And immediately a woman comes out of somewhere. How can I help you? And I told her, she said, have a seat. We'll be right with you. And I go and sit down. And a lady behind me, ma'am, can you tell, I want to ask you a question. Can you tell me something? And then, you know, and she was very pleasant, and I was able to get her information. And a woman came in with two children, a six-year-old and a 12-year-old. They wouldn't leave me alone. Hi, my name, I do this. I'm going to the next grade, and I'm scared. What do I do? The mother was sitting there with them, and she allowed them to just be free. And I just had fun talking to them. And I recognized we don't have to do anything. I was connected with my God, my Christ self, my inner Christ self, and they helped me to see. I was connected. I was trying to leave the bank. They still were asking questions and saying goodbye. And I was so grateful that God gave me the confirmation. Because 3 days ago, I'm in the hospital. Nobody loves me. Anybody loves me when I love myself. Then others, they feel that. They're drawn to it.
Yeah. So you had the comparison. And that's what we need. We have to be able to, we feel our lowest, we feel what it feels like being at our lowest. And then when we ask our inner child, consciously or unconsciously, more consciously hopefully now as we're moving along in the book, what can I do to make you feel better? What can I do to help remove this feeling of doubt or anger or fear or guilt or grief or pain or whatever it may be. And it may be a process. It may take time for that to happen. But if once we begin to ask inwardly and we want that connection with our inner child, we want that improvement for our soul, the universe will begin to bring things into our lives that will help us.
And brought in children probably at the ages that I needed to deal with.
Yeah.
A six-year-old
and a 12.
And a 12-year-old.
Yes. How perfect. How perfect, right?
Thank you, God.
Yes.
Wow.
So thank you for sharing that. I want us to go on. I want you to read pages 55, which is softness versus weakness. I want you to also understand that you can be soft without being weak. I'm just going to read this first little bit that she said. Our ego has taught us to believe that softness and power are mutually exclusive, that softness is weakness and hardness is powerful. The ego tells us, therefore, that we cannot be soft and powerful at the same time. But to give and receive love, we must be soft. Love never comes from the hardness of the ego. So I want to leave that aspect of the book. I want you to continue reading that chapter. I think it's very important that you do. But I wanted to go back because we're talking about the soul. And last week in chapter 5, there was in the book, Margaret Paul and Erica Chopich mentioned their placement of the soul, which is different than my understanding and what I have learned over the last 20 years, the placement of the soul, the seat of the soul. And I just wanted to share this with you. And it comes from another book called Your Seven Energy Centers, A Holistic Approach to Physical, Emotional, and Spiritual Vitality by Elizabeth Clare Prophet. And some of you know, have been on my programs before in the past when I've talked about the seven chakras. But I just wanted to give you, just so that you could understand some of these characteristics of the soul from from a spiritual perspective, location of the soul is midway between the navel and the base of the spine, as we talked about last week, rather than up above the navel. And the color is violet. So again, when we talk about the violet flame, that violet color, even if you start having violet around you, I know people, I was one many, many years ago that started gravitating to the color purple. You know, but I can remember there was a time when I gravitated to the color green, you know, which is for healing, and pink for love. So the soul needs that violet energy, that violet light, which is one of the highest vibratory colors that we can have. So if you like violet, or even if you don't like violet that much, put some violet around you, you know, maybe get something. When you're feeling one of those sad days or whatever, put some violet on. Violet means power. How many of us want some power, right? Put that violet on. Put that violet on. If you wear headscarves, put a violet headscarf on. Can you imagine how powerful your head's going to be by the end of the day? Powerful brain cells moving around there with that violet scarf on.
So that means that we can put that violet on and give that decree we said, I am a being of violet fire. I am the purity God desires.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And begin to see it penetrating all through your body, in every cell of your body, every cell of your being, anywhere where you have an ailment, you know, like if you are, if you have high blood pressure. So that we know that's the heart and the circulatory system. My heart's a being of violet fire. My heart's the purity God desires. My circulatory system's a being of violet fire. And see that violet fire going in there and clearing out, unplugging all that cholesterol or whatever that causes us to have high blood pressure. You know, our eyes are a being of violet fire. We have problems with our eyes. Our thyroid, if we have problems with our thyroid is a being. Any part of our body, we can do that, you know, and if we're sad, sadness and grief is in the lungs. So we don't want that to linger because we don't want to cause chronic problems such as bronchitis, asthma, pneumonia, things of that nature, right? So my lungs are being a violet fire. It doesn't mean that you don't have the grief, but you're doing whatever you can to transmute whatever energy that would cause you to have physical, show up on the physical at some point. Because, you know, we grieve, everyone grieves differently, and we grieve different periods of time for different things. When we have a loss, it could be a loss of a car. You know, I was in a car accident and totaled my car. That was a loss. You know, one of my animals I had to put down, that was a loss. Last summer, as some of you may know, my mom made her transition. That was a loss. But I don't want that to affect my lungs because I know from Chinese medicine that grief and sadness is going to be there, especially that grief in my lungs. I don't want that. So I need to change. I am a being of violet fire. My lungs are a being of violet fire. They are the purity God desires. So I still have the grief. I'm going through it, working through it, processing it, but I don't want any part of my body to be affected because of the grief. Does that make sense? Or it could be anger.
So
or
what is the violet fire doing to these lungs, the areas? What is it doing?
Well, it's transmuting. It's transforming the energy in there. You know, as I said, it's a transformer. The violet fire, it transmutes. It disintegrates. It allows for the replacement, and we want that replacement to be as I was when we were doing our breathing earlier. We want to replace it with love. We want to replace it with light. We want to get rid of all that stuff in our body that would cause us to have problems. So let me go on here just a little bit more. The positive expression for the seat of the soul chakra, that's which is our soul sitting there. The positive expressions for it, freedom, mercy, forgiveness, justice, transcendence, alchemy, transmutation, which is the violet flame, as I just said, diplomacy, intuition, prophecy, revelation. So we want our soul to be in a good place because that's where our intuition is. We want it because it helps us to be free. You know, we want the freedom. We don't want to be bound to certain things. We want God's mercy. We want forgiveness for ourselves, and we want to be able to forgive others. We also want justice to be done when we know that there's been an injustice. The unbalanced expression of the seat of the soul chakra is lack of forgiveness, justice or mercy, intolerance, lack of tact, disregard for others, and cruelty. And the body parts that are affected by that chakra, now again, the chakra is different than the soul itself, but that's where the soul resides, is in that area where the chakra is. So that chakra affects the soul. And so that's what it's saying here. What body part also is in relationship to that chakra? And it's the organs and systems of elimination and reproduction. So, ladies, when you have that gut reaction to things, you feel like you're all bound up. You can't, things aren't flowing freely. I think you understand what I'm saying here. I'm talking about, you know, the elimination, and you find yourself all bound up and stuck. Just think about it. Think about what's happening to the soul at the same time, energetically. So I just wanted to give you that as an analogy. We want to keep everything free-flowing. We want the freedom of that of life to happen. Vicki, you need to mute yourself.
Okay, 1 second. Sorry.
And the gemstone would be amethyst, diamonds, and aquamarine. So if you like amethyst, or if you like diamonds or aquamarine, then you can also wear those to help you balance the energy in the seat of the soul chakra. So we only have a few more minutes left, and I wanted to, first of all, give everybody an opportunity. If you had any comments, aha moments since we've been talking that you want to share, if you have any testimonials that you want to give, feel free to open your mic and I'll acknowledge you. I do want to say that yesterday I had a moment of allowing my inner child to come out, and she had a lot of fun. You know, all work and no play makes Deirdre and everybody else an unhappy inner child. And so my inner child was able to go to Yellowstone Park, because some of you know that I live out here now in Montana, and I'm about an hour or so from Yellowstone Park. One of the entrances to Yellowstone Park, and we drove all the way up to Old Faithful. You all remember that geyser, Old Faithful? And I've got pictures and sitting around talking to people that came from all over the world just to see Old Faithful do it. And then, I mean, it's like, what, 15 seconds, and then it just fizzles on down until it comes back another 3 hours from now. But everybody was sitting there in anticipation. This little boy was standing behind me, and he said, "Oh, this is so wonderful. I'll never forget this experience." And I thought about my daughter, and I, you know, it's like, how many experiences have we given our children that, you know, are good impressionable experiences? And how about our inner child? How many, you know, impressionable experiences that we'll never forget? So I took in that moment for my inner child to be like that little boy, to say, "Oh, look at this experience that I'm having." And, I, you know, the whole day was a joyous one where I was able to, you know, to smile and, you know, have a picnic lunch with a friend girl of mine and you know, to be out there listening to the water, the creek, the falls, the waterfalls. And it was a joyous moment that I have not allowed myself to have since my mom made her transition in August of last year. So I just wanted to share that with you. Sometimes we just have to stop everything, stop working, and just go and allow our inner child to just have fun. So that's what I did for about 6-7 hours yesterday.
And you sent me a picture, and it showed all in your face that there was just no stress. There was just joy. And that was so beautiful, so beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So any other comments from anyone this evening before we move on?
How does this work?
Carolyn, go ahead.
Hi. I just wanted to say thank you. I got the invite, and I decided, okay, let's do this. Let's make an attempt. And it's in line with everything that you're saying, and I so appreciate all of this information because, as you know, and Rhonda, you said to Rhonda that I just lost I didn't lose my mom. My mom made her transition on April 11th. Got to the home memorial service yet. So there's been a lot of strokes, a lot of stuff that I've been dealing with. And you have to be ready, and you have to be prepared, and you have to want it. You have to be intentional of freeing up that inner child. And you are so, so, so on the money. I mean, you know, this is my first meeting with you in this venue. And it makes sense. It makes sense. And I know it makes sense to me because I realize it. I'm acknowledging it. And I want my inner self to be happy again. She hasn't been happy in 50 years, who knows, you know, a long time. So I really appreciate this. I want that book. I want that workbook. You got to tell me how to get it. And I new starts. I've initiated some new starts in this new season of my life. And this is a wonderful new start. So thank you.
You're
I
welcome.
Enjoyed every moment of it. Okay?
Yes, you're more than welcome, Sherman.
Have a good evening, everyone.
Good evening. Who's
okay,
talking?
So, well, I have to say so long. I was saying have a good evening, everyone.
Oh, you.
But that was just my
Oh,
goodbye.
Okay. All right. I thought someone else was saying good evening. Well, we are not gone yet, so.
I know.
All right. Well, Carolyn, thank you very much. I'm very grateful for you being here this evening. I think we're all, anyone that has an opportunity to work on their inner child, they're at new beginnings in their lives. So no matter what brought us here today, and if you come back, that's great. How you can get the book is go to Amazon.com. I'm not giving them a plug, but that's where most people are able to find the books these days relatively easily. Healing Your Aloneness, Finding Love and Wholeness Through Your Inner Child by Erica Chopich, Chopich, and Margaret Paul. Margaret Paul, Paul. For those of you that are on Blog Talk Radio, again, that's Healing Your Aloneness, Finding Love and Wholeness Through Your Inner Child. And we also use the workbook. Their workbook is not showing up through them. Here, but we also use their workbook, and they have wonderful exercises to help you walk through the process of learning how to connect and interact with your inner child. So if you can, get the book and the workbook. And so what I'd like to do in these last few minutes that we have is to go back into a meditation. And when we get off the air, I want you to continue doing the work. If you can, for another 10 or 15 minutes, I want you to be intentional in communicating and talking with your inner child. And so remember, we want to have that softness of heart. So when we talk about softness, when she talks about softness, it's not so much our body, it's not the way we stand or the way we deport our physical body. You know, that may be for some of us, too. I'll tell you one day what a young man told me when I had first started out being a police officer on the job, you know, about being who I am. So you have to be who you are. And so if you're naturally a soft person, more introverted, that's okay. There's nothing wrong with you being soft and introverted. There's nothing wrong with you being soft and an extrovert. You can do that without. Extroverts don't have to be controlling. They don't have to be those to try to tell other people how to live their life or how to be. They can just be in the moment, as Rhonda was in the moment in the bank and talking to those two little boys and to that other person that that came up and asked her something. Now, some of us may not feel that we can do that because we're not an extroverted kind of individual, and that's okay too. But your experiences may be different. You may have someone come over and share a cup of tea with them, or you may find someone in need as you're walking down the street one day, and you won't say anything to them, but you'll offer them a prayer. So you're still showing your power, but it's in a different way. So we all are different, but at the same time, we're the same, and we are love. When we know that we are love, when we know that we can operate from that place of light and love, that's when we know we are the same. We are one. And remember, that's the title. Girls, Let's Talk, Healing Your Aloneness and Becoming All One. This is how we do it. We become all one by becoming who we truly are and recognizing that I'm in each and every one of you. I've had experiences similar yet different than each and every one of your experiences. And you, vice versa, have had similar and yet different experiences. But it's what we do with it. And what we want to do with it is learn from them, heal because of them, and move forward in being that powerful person and connecting to our higher self, that Holy Christ self of our being that is awaiting us for us to be in that moment of connection. As we end today, I want us to do a little meditation, and I'm going to read something to you, and you can use this, and what you will have to do if you don't have it written down anywhere is you may have to listen to the replay so that you can write it down. But it is called the I Am the Light of the Heart meditation and stances. There's three stances, and I want you to say them with me, and I'll say it slowly as we go back into our meditative state. Okay? So I want you to go back into that place of being at one with your breath, breathing in through your nose and out through your mouth. And make sure you're muted. In through your nose and out through your mouth. Breathing again consciously, the conscious breath. Inhale, expanding your belly button. And exhale, collapsing your stomach as if your navel is going all the way back to your spine. As you exhale, removing all the tightness in your shoulders, in your neck, in your upper back, middle back, lower back, sitting straight up, erect, or lying on your couch, on the floor, in your bed, on your back, with your arms at your side and your hands face up. And if you're sitting, make sure your feet are flat on the floor. Your feet are flat on the floor. Excuse me for coughing. Check your posture. You feel any tightness in your shoulders? Shrug your shoulders up to your ears as you inhale. and let them drop slowly as you exhale. Inhale. And exhale. As you inhale, turn your head to your left shoulder, your chin leading, like it's going to touch your shoulder, but it doesn't. It doesn't have to. And as you exhale, come back to the middle. As you inhale again, go to the right. And as you exhale, come back to the center with your head. You can do that a couple of times. Inhale to the left. Stretching as far as you can your neck. And bring it back to the center. And let's do it again to the right. Inhale. And exhale. Give yourself permission to let it all go. Do you feel any tightness in your lower back, your buttocks, your thighs, your hips? Feel them sinking more and more into the chair or into the bed or to the floor. Feel your legs and your feet become so still that they feel like they're one with your breath. Inhale. And exhale. Inhale. And exhale. And I'd like for you to place your hands right below your belly in that little area that feels like a little pouch for some of us. Like you're cupping that inner child, your soul. Comforting your inner child. Letting your inner child know that you're so grateful for this opportunity to connect with it, to learn from it, to support it, to find out what it needs. As you continue to move forward in your life, I want you to gently ask your inner child now if there's an area of your life that you're concerned about. It could be what's your next experience, what's part of the purpose for being here. Can you fulfill your divine plan at this time if you still feel overwhelmed or burdened with the sense of guilt, blame, shame, unworthiness, a lack of confidence? You feel discouraged, abandoned, abused, weary, worried, fearful, anxious. Feel like you're not good enough, not educated enough. Not young enough, not old enough, whatever it may be. As the adult, your inner child, how can you help support your inner child in healing from these feelings, from these emotions, from these experiences of the past? And as you do, I invite you to be in a vulnerable place, a very soft place. You're allowing yourself to allow your heart to open again. Knowing that it's okay. Knowing that you can protect your inner child. Knowing that you will protect your inner child. Do it from a place of softness and power and strength. Not from a place of ego, selfishness, lack, or loss. And as you continue breathing in through your nose and out through your mouth, I want you to repeat these words after me, in your mind, in your heart, to your little girl, your inner child. I am the light of the heart, shining in the darkness of being, and changing all into the golden treasury of the mind of Christ. I am projecting my love out into the world to erase all errors and to break down all barriers. I am the power, infinite love, amplifying itself until it is victorious, world without end. Am the light of the heart, shining in the darkness of being, and changing all into the golden treasury of the mind of Christ. I am projecting my love out into the world to erase all errors and to break down all barriers. I am the power of infinite love, amplifying itself until it is victorious, world without end. I am the light of the heart, shining in the darkness of being, and changing all into the golden treasury of the mind of Christ. I am projecting my love out into the world to erase all errors, down all barriers. I am the power of infinite love, amplifying itself until it is victorious, world without end. Breathe in deeply. And exhale out. Breathe in, I am the light of the heart, into your heart. Tell your little girl that you are the light of the heart, your heart, God's heart within you. and that you all can do this. You can be successful. You can be happy. You can be healthy. You can be loved as well as lovable. You can be fearless, powerful, serene. You can be soft and strong in the same minute. And you will know that life will give you opportunities to heal and to prepare for your next divine experience in a more healthy way each time you unite with your inner child and your holy Christ self, your higher self. And so for the next couple of weeks, continue communicating with your inner child. Help her to know how strong you are, and even in your soft, vulnerable place, you have your strength, you have your power, and you have your victory in all that you undertake. And I look forward to you being back with me again in 2 weeks. And until then, may the light of God be with you. Until you know that it is you. Thank you for being here. This is, and I look forward to our next Girls Talk, Healing Your Aloneness and Becoming All One. Always victory. God bless.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, Noelle. Thank you for being with us today.
I'm so glad I was here.
I'm glad you were, too. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Thank you, Dr. Mel. Good night. Thank you. Thank you, Julie. And thank you, Carolyn. Thank you, Vicki. Thank you for being here. Good night, Carolyn. Stay in touch. You're welcome. Good night. Thank you, Julie.
You're welcome, and thank you.
I'm so glad you were with us this evening.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Take care now. Bye. I'm going to disconnect the Zoom. And I'm going to say always victory. Yes.